Ever wondered why some passions lead to fulfillment while others spiral into obsession? The Passion Paradox by Brad Stolberg and Steve Magnus tackles this question head-on, offering a revolutionary perspective on how we pursue our deepest interests. This isn't just another self-help book. It's consistently ranked among the top psychology reads on Amazon and has been praised by Olympic athletes and Fortune 500 CEOs alike. Stolberg, a former McKinsey consultant turned performance coach, and Magnus, who trains elite distance runners, combine their expertise to reveal why passion can be both our greatest gift and our greatest struggle. What makes this work particularly compelling is how it challenges the "follow your passion" mantra that's dominated motivational culture for decades, offering instead a nuanced roadmap for channeling passion in healthy, sustainable ways. Their insights have been featured in the New York Times, Outside Magazine, and TED Talks, transforming how we think about achievement, fulfillment, and the complex relationship between the two. Passion is widely celebrated as the path to fulfillment, yet it requires careful handling. Without proper guidance, passion can lead you astray in several ways. You might become a slave to external validation, tying your self-worth to achievements rather than enjoying the activity itself. You could become blind to everything but your passion, neglecting relationships and health. You might burn out from unsustainable intensity. Or you could lose joy as your passion begins to feel like a chore. The better kind of passion emerges when you become wrapped up in an activity primarily for its inherent joy, experiencing success with humility and failure with resolve, when your passion aligns with deep purpose and harmonizes with your life. This requires mindful self-awareness to maintain control over your passion rather than letting it control you. Passion is fragile and must be handled with care. It's linked not only to happiness and fulfillment, but also to anxiety, depression, and burnout. While much has been written about finding passion, knowing how to sustain and channel it productively is equally important, yet rarely discussed. The direction your passion takes is a choice, not predetermined destiny. Passion's etymology reveals its complex nature. Born from the Latin word passio, meaning suffering, passion originally described Christ's crucifixion torture. For nearly 1,000 years, to wish passion upon someone would have been harmful, not inspirational. The word gradually evolved, first broadening to include all suffering, then transforming through the Renaissance to encompass rage, love, and finally overwhelming desire. Shakespeare helped shift passion toward romantic lust, but it wasn't until the 18th century that passion became associated with zeal for pursuits or activities. Phrases like "follow your passion" only entered common language in the mid-1970s as Western ideals shifted from security to self-actualization. Despite this evolution, passion and suffering remain deeply connected. The biology of passion is deeply rooted in our neurochemistry. As ultra-runner Ann Trason's story illustrates, some individuals are born with dopamine insensitivity that predisposes them to passionate pursuits. Trason, who broke 20 world records and won Western States 14 times, always felt compelled to push, 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 despite her achievements. Research suggests up to 40% of personality may be inherited, with persistence linked to dopamine insensitivity. People needing more dopamine to feel good demonstrate unwavering determination in pursuing challenging rewards. This biological cycle intensifies with repetition. Each pursuit releases dopamine, creating a craving that requires increasingly more stimulation to satisfy. Neuroscientist Mark Lewis explains that this process mirrors addiction, as powerful experiences cause brain changes that build momentum. The line between destructive addiction and productive passion is remarkably thin, as both involve getting hooked on the same neurochemical feeling. While some people are born with passionate dispositions, anyone can develop this dopamine-driven cycle through meaningful activities that provide positive feedback. Unlike Ann Trason's innate energy, endurance athlete Rich Roll's passion emerged from psychological roots. Growing up feeling inadequate in his achievement-oriented family, Roel was socially awkward and bullied. When he discovered swimming in middle school, it became his chance to define myself and show that I, too, could succeed. His childhood insecurities fueled his later passion for endurance sports. Professor Alan Gibson connects this pattern to ego fragility, where past traumas drive fanatical attachment to projects and goals. Research supports this talent needs trauma concept. Elite athletes often come from homes with more siblings or divorced parents. Even Jim Clark, who founded Netscape at 38 after being fired and divorced, channeled his trauma into technological innovation. Passion serves dual purposes. It creates dopamine dependence while providing escape from inner struggles. By shrinking our world to a single pursuit, we find refuge and control. This explains why many retired athletes and entrepreneurs struggle with substance abuse. Passion and addiction share biological and psychological foundations. Programs like Preventure successfully redirect addictive personalities toward productive passions, demonstrating how the same traits that drive addiction can fuel achievement when properly channeled. The chapter begins by drawing a parallel between how we view romantic love and how we approach passion. Just as modern culture promotes a destiny belief of finding a perfect soulmate, a relatively recent concept that replaced more pragmatic views of love, most people today hold a fit mindset about passion, believing we must find activities that feel immediately and perfectly right. Research shows 78% of people believe happiness comes from discovering activities or jobs that instantly feel passionate, but this approach often backfires. Those with a fit mindset tend to overemphasize initial feelings, abandon pursuits at the first sign of difficulty, and expect their passions to inevitably diminish over time, setting themselves up for disappointment and midlife crises. The authors advocate lowering the bar from perfect to interesting when seeking passion. They illustrate this through examples like director James Cameron, who made Titanic primarily because he wanted to dive the wreck, and philosophy PhD student Marissa Newman, who followed her philosophical interests through various careers before eventually returning to academic philosophy. Both stories demonstrate how following curiosity rather than seeking perfection can lead to fulfilling passions. The authors emphasize that we must resist "I couldn't possibly do this" syndrome, the tendency to dismiss interests that don't align with our established identity. This syndrome strengthens with age, creating path dependency that prevents exploration of potentially fulfilling opportunities. They urge readers to resist pigeonholing themselves, regardless of prior experiences, as many potential passions are killed by prematurely dismissing activities before proper exploration. The path to finding passion is described as long and circuitous, often involving wrong turns toward activities that initially seemed exciting. Rather than embracing a fit mindset that abandons anything not immediately perfect, they encourage giving oneself freedom to explore budding interests to determine if they could develop into passions. Drawing on self-determination theory developed by psychologists Edward Deci and Richard Ryan in the 1970s, the authors explain that enduring motivation comes from satisfying three basic needs rather than external rewards. 1. Competency. Having control over outcomes and seeing progress over time, fulfilling our desire for tangible results from our efforts. 2. Autonomy or authenticity, acting in harmony with our innermost being, connecting what we do with who we are. This means work should reflect core values and express some part of our true self. 3. Relatedness, feeling connected to others or part of something larger, satisfying our innate need as social beings to feel we're contributing to something beyond ourselves. Activities that fulfill these three needs are exponentially more likely to develop into enduring passions. When such activities begin generating feelings of aliveness and self-actualization, it signals a blossoming passion, though the authors caution against diving in too quickly. The authors open with cautionary tales of passion gone wrong. They described Jeffrey Skilling, Enron's CEO, who valued passion above all else and created a culture of obsessive performance that ultimately led to massive corporate fraud. Similarly, they recount Elizabeth Holmes' story, the Stanford dropout whose obsessive passion for changing healthcare through Theranos resulted in massive fraud charges and the company's collapse from a $9 billion valuation. These examples illustrate how initially positive passion can transform into destructive obsession. The authors note that both Skilling and Holmes began as brilliant, driven individuals whose passion contributed to early success before leading them astray. They explain that similar scenarios happen on smaller scales constantly. When someone becomes overly fixated on achieving a goal, ties their identity to it, loses sight of their original motivations, and becomes driven by external rewards rather than internal satisfaction. The authors explore how obsessive passion creates a fragile sense of self-worth by tying identity to external results. They quote Epictetus's warning against becoming attached to externals and explain how this attachment leads to desperation when facing inevitable failures. When self-worth is tied to external outcomes, even minor setbacks feel like personal attacks. This explains why figures like Skilling and Holmes went to extremes. They weren't just protecting their companies, but their very identities. As Eric Fromm wrote, "If I am what I have, and if what I have is lost, then who am I?" The authors note that even successful people with obsessive passion struggle to enjoy achievements, constantly craving more, a phenomenon called hedonic adaptation, or what Buddha termed suffering. This cycle often leads to unethical behavior, anxiety, depression, and burnout, as seen with baseball players Barry Bonds and Alex Rodriguez, who used performance-enhancing drugs to maintain their success. Fear-driven passion is unsustainable in the long run. David Conroy's research identified 5 common fear drivers in athletes: fear of shame/embarrassment, losing positive self-image, uncertain future, others losing interest, and upsetting important others. While these fears can temporarily motivate, none provide sustainable passion. When we're overcome by fear, we evaluate everything as a threat, putting our bodies in survival mode. This effective short-term response eventually transforms into anxiety and burnout. By shedding fear, we shift from a prevention mindset, playing not to lose, to a promotion mindset, playing to win, becoming willing to take constructive risks that lead to breakthroughs. As psychologist Stan Beecham states, when fear dies, you begin to live. Overcoming fear is critical to sustainable passion, performance, and happiness. Harmonious passion emerges when you engage in something primarily for the joy of the activity itself, not as a means to an end. Unlike the darker forms of passion driven by external rewards or fear of failure, harmonious passion aligns with the Greek concept of eudaimonia, happiness derived from striving toward one's potential through meaningful activities. The great paradox is that while external achievement is never the primary goal of harmonious passion, it often becomes a natural byproduct. Those least focused on success and most immersed in their craft tend to achieve the greatest results. However, cultivating this type of passion requires deliberate work and practice, especially in our result-oriented, instant gratification culture. The mastery mindset forms the foundation of harmonious passion. It values continual improvement and development while devaluing transient successes or failures. People on the path of mastery accomplish great things sustainably, resist burnout, and produce work of special quality born from love. This mindset consists of 6 components, beginning with drive from within. Those with mastery motivation aren't primarily motivated by external measures or fear of failure, but by an internal desire to improve for its own sake. Olympic swimmer Katie Ledecky exemplifies this. After winning 5 gold medals in Rio, she turned down millions in sponsorships to swim collegiately at Stanford, prioritizing her development over fame and fortune. The mastery mindset acknowledges external motivators but ensures they take a backseat to internal drive. This requires deliberate choices, particularly showing up and doing the work every damn day. Whether experiencing massive success or devastating failure, returning to the work serves as a reminder that you're pursuing mastery, being present in an ongoing practice rather than striving for specific goals. Runner Brenda Martinez exemplifies process focus after facing devastating bad luck at Olympic trials. When she was tripped during her strongest event, 800 meters, rather than ruminating on her misfortune, she immediately refocused on preparing for her secondary event, 1500 meters, ultimately qualifying for the Olympics by 3/100ths of a second. The mastery mindset uses goals as steering mechanisms rather than destinations. Instead of fixating on specific outcomes, those with harmonious passion concentrate on executing the process that gives them the best chance of improvement. This approach creates daily opportunities for little victories that sustain motivation over time. Research on mice shows that accomplishing micro-objectives releases dopamine, priming persistence. Just as muscles must be pushed to fatigue to grow stronger, embracing failure is essential for mastery. Research shows super champions are distinguished from almost champions by their response to adversity. The greats view challenges positively as growth opportunities, while almost greats blame external factors and lose motivation. The path of mastery requires unyielding commitment through inevitable periods of boredom. Modern technology has conditioned us to expect immediate gratification, making patience an increasingly rare and valuable skill. Yet, as Aikido master George Leonard observed, to learn anything significant, to make any lasting change in yourself, you must be willing to spend most of your time on the plateau. Full engagement in any activity transforms how we experience it. Philosopher Robert Persig illustrates this through a college student who couldn't write about Bozeman, Montana, until he instructed her to focus on a single brick of the opera house. This narrow focus broke her writer's block, generating not 500, but 5,000 words. Being fully present allows us to see clearly and appreciate our pursuits. Yet most of us operate on autopilot, our attention constantly hijacked by digital distractions. Our culture worships the concept of balance. From motivational speaker Jim Rohn's warnings that life without balance can cost you your health, to university courses on optimizing balance, we're constantly told to seek equilibrium. This fixation isn't new. It traces back to Aristotle's golden mean, Plato's tripartite theory of soul, and ancient medicine's four humors. Yet the authors challenge this conventional wisdom by asking, have you ever met an interesting person, let alone a deeply passionate one, who is balanced? They observe that our most alive moments typically come when we're completely consumed by an activity, not when we're carefully balancing our lives. Top performers across fields, from ultra-endurance athlete Rich Roll to Mayo Clinic researcher Dr. Michael Joyner, draw direct connections between fulfillment and going all in on their passions. Coach Gerald Stewart transformed a mediocre high school running team into a national powerhouse with one simple philosophy: you can only be great at two things at a time. This exemplifies the fundamental truth that passion and balance cannot coexist. When someone is wrapped in passion, they're consumed and singularly focused, not balanced. Even harmonious passion disrupts equilibrium. Warren Buffett illustrates this perfectly. Despite his $75 billion fortune, he lives modestly in Omaha, completely absorbed by investing since childhood. Though well-intentioned as a family man, his children describe his perpetual mental absence, with his daughter noting, "You must speak in short, quick chunks before losing him to whatever giant thought he has in his head." Similarly, great historical figures like Alexander Hamilton and Gandhi changed the world while struggling in their personal lives. The authors conclude, living with passion is, by definition, living without balance. Going all in on a passion doesn't mean working constantly. That's a recipe for burnout, not success. The authors emphasize their formula from their previous book, stress plus rest equals growth. Even intrinsic motivation doesn't make you bulletproof against burnout. In fact, the authors note that in their coaching practices, their biggest challenge isn't pushing driven people forward, but holding them back. Sleep is particularly crucial. Harvard research shows that mental growth happens during rest, not work. Great creators understand this. Stephen King writes, "For me, not working is the real work," while Hemingway called the forced rest between writing sessions his greatest challenge. The key insight, rest isn't passive or wasteful, it's an active, essential part of the work itself. Rather than pursuing the illusion of balance, the authors advocate developing self-awareness, the ability to see yourself clearly by assessing, monitoring, and proactively managing your core values, emotions, passions, behaviors, and impact on others. Self-awareness allows you to distinguish between the immediate euphoria of immersion and its long-term consequences. It enables the Olympian to retire at the right time, the artist to recognize when life outside the studio enhances creativity within it, and the lawyer to prioritize family dinners despite work demands. Practicing self-awareness helps you evaluate the trade-offs of a passionate life, ensure proper rest to prevent burnout, and make conscious decisions that minimize regrets. For some people, individual days or even years may appear unbalanced, but viewed across their entire lives, they achieve wholeness. Self-awareness serves as the essential counterforce to passion's extreme inertia. From 2000 to 2002, Siri Lindley dominated triathlon, winning 13 World Cup races and a world championship through singular focus and intense passion. Despite carrying emotional pain from family troubles and her emerging sexual identity, she channeled these psychological factors into her sport with a relentless drive. For 7 years, triathlon consumed her entirely. She trained constantly, ate meticulously, and lived a monkish existence. Though her passion was largely harmonious, built on a mastery mindset, Lindley surprisingly walked away at her peak. "Dismantling my fears while building up self-belief allowed me to achieve great things in triathlon," she explained, "but I no longer needed to seek my self-worth in the sport." Her coach begged her to return for Olympic gold, but Lindley made a deliberate choice to direct her passion elsewhere. This wasn't about her passion turning harmful, it was about her growing self-awareness, allowing her to honestly evaluate what she was sacrificing. Self-awareness gives you the ability to accurately assess your beliefs, values, emotions, and behaviors, allowing you to see situations clearly without being blinded by powerful emotions. Research shows that our friends, and sometimes even strangers, often know us better than we know ourselves. In studies comparing self-assessments with validated psychological surveys, friends' ratings proved far more accurate than participant self-evaluations. For traits like hubris, even strangers' observations after just minutes were more accurate than self-ratings. This doesn't mean we can never accurately evaluate ourselves. Some people truly know themselves, but developing this self-knowledge requires deliberate practice and time. Seeing ourselves clearly is challenging because our view is often clouded by emotions, especially regarding our passions. We can get so wrapped up in what we're doing that objective evaluation becomes nearly impossible, similar to how those with eating disorders fail to recognize their condition. The narrowing function of wholeheartedly pursuing a passion is not too different from the narrowing function of an addiction. Adventure racer Rebecca Rush, who has won world championships in sports from whitewater rafting to mountain biking, maintains self-awareness in emotionally charged situations by pretending she's giving advice to a friend. This creates space between her thoughts and feelings, allowing her to see more clearly in difficult moments. Research supports this approach. In a University of Waterloo study, students who imagined their friend being cheated on, rather than themselves, demonstrated much wiser reasoning about the situation. Similarly, thinking or journaling in third person rather than first person promotes clearer self-evaluation. These self-distancing practices remove our emotional selves from charged situations, enabling more thoughtful insight and decision-making. By regularly evaluating your passions as if they belong to someone else, you gain perspective on whether you should keep pushing or perhaps pull back when the trade-offs become too great. Astronauts looking down on Earth gain what's called orbital perspective, or the overview effect, a cognitive shift in awareness that changes how they view their achievements and place in the world. When pursuing a passion, our perspective is the opposite, completely zoomed in. This narrowed focus helps us accomplish incredible things, but prevents us from seeing the broader picture. We lose the ability to choose what we want to do with our lives when passion takes over. To recalibrate our perspective, we can seek out awe-inspiring experiences. Psychology professor Dacher Keltner defines awe as the sense of wonder felt in the presence of something vast that transcends our understanding. Activities that elicit awe include immersing in nature, watching sunsets or stargazing, viewing art, listening to moving music, witnessing extraordinary human kindness, or observing exceptional skill. These experiences expose us to phenomena beyond everyday comprehension and help us view ourselves against a larger backdrop. In our increasingly awe-deprived culture, we must deliberately seek out these perspective-shifting moments. Whether by choice or necessity, transitioning away from something we're passionate about represents one of life's greatest challenges. When we adopt the mastery mindset, our passions often shift from verbs, something we do, to nouns, someone we are. From writing to being a writer, from running to being a runner. This makes separation particularly difficult. How can we lose our passion without losing ourselves? Those who successfully transition from passions share one critical trait. They take ownership of their personal narratives. Chris Lukasich exemplifies this approach. Despite being at the peak of his running career, placing 7th at the World Indoor Track Championships, he retired at 26, shocking the running community. Unlike many athletes who struggle with retirement, Lukasich wasn't burnt out. He was simply following his diverse interests. "My heart has always been pulled in a million different fragmented directions," he explained. "Running was never the only interest I had, but it was the only interest I pursued." 2 months before retiring, Lukasich had sent an impassioned letter to a travel-focused startup that had captured his imagination. Despite ridicule from the running community, he followed his interest and joined Airbnb as employee number 6, redirecting the same drive that fueled his athletic career into a new passion. Our personal narratives fundamentally shape how we navigate transitions. The story we tell ourselves about ourselves is who we become, and this story is forever unfolding. Steve Magnus's experience illustrates this perfectly. It took him 14 years to fully move beyond his identity as a failed running prodigy. Only when his high school mile record was broken in 2017 did he realize he had constructed his own identity around this singular achievement, vastly overestimating how much others defined him by it. Our identities are constructs resulting from what we reflect on others and what others reflect on us. While we can't control how the outside world stereotypes us, we can shape our own sense of self. Those with hyperthymesia, HSAM, people with photographic autobiographical memory, reveal what happens when we lose control of our stories. Unlike most people who can selectively edit painful memories to move forward, those with HSAM remain trapped in unedited versions of reality, unable to reframe past experiences. The power of narrative control becomes evident when transitioning from passions. Rather than denying your passion's importance or rushing to fill its void, create space to reflect on how it shaped you. Embrace the middle ground, carrying forward the deep personality traits and life experiences from your passion without letting it remain your entire identity. Taking control of your story means taking control of your life. When transitioning from a passion, 4 key practices can guide your path forward. First, craft your internal narrative carefully, as this story is critical to moving forward. Second, don't deny or suppress your passion's importance. Instead, embrace how it shaped you and build upon those lessons in your next chapter. Third, resist the urge to quickly fill the void. Create time and space for reflection on your passion's impact. Finally, recognize that while activities may change, the deep personality traits that fueled your passion remain. Harness these traits as you write the next chapter of your life.